Good evening. Certainly it's good to see everyone tonight. We had a great day today, and it's just been wonderful getting to know you better, and we appreciate your hospitality and the time that we're having to get to know you. And I appreciate what Pat had to say. I'm glad he couldn't think of anything else to say. I do know that Pat is a very exacting person. You know, if you talk to him, he's talked about a math joke. But the thing that I guess was surprised at, that he took very literally what God said to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You're a brave man. Pat and Monica have always been, recently, from a perspective that the children will understand. In the 127th Psalm, the psalmist writes in verse 1, he says, "Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain." A house that is built on something other than Jehovah is never going to be what Jehovah intended for it to be. And I'm afraid oftentimes that we don't put enough stock in what God says, and we don't actually do some of the things that God has asked us to do. I don't know if you've ever gone through the Bible and looked at the families that are represented in the Bible and looked at how they operated and how they reared their children and how they conducted themselves. But from the very beginning, there seemed to be a problem in homes. I mean, you look at Adam and Eve's home and the problem that existed between Cain and Abel. And what happened there? If you go back on through the Bible and you look at Abraham and Sarah, I mean, we're beginning to think that the Bible is full of a series of stories about dysfunctional families. Because you look at Abraham and Sarah and what happened and what Sarah decided to do by taking, you know, God's plan into her own hands, thinking her plan was better than God's and she knew what was best. And as a result, there was a child that was born by the name of Ishmael by Hagar, and nothing but trouble came about in that family from that point on until they separated. And if you look further at the family of Jacob, I mean, hardly you would call Jacob's family an ideal family. The way that we looked at one of the things we think about with reference to his family is that the father was played favorites. I mean, he apparently loved Joseph and Benjamin more than he loved the rest of the family. The brothers, they didn't get along. You know, some of them were united together against Joseph, but even when they were trying to decide what to do with him, they couldn't decide, really come to an agreement about that. And you continue on through the Bible and you look at David's house and how his adultery with Bathsheba absolutely decimated his whole household. The sword never departed from his house. It had terrible consequences for the kingdom and for him. And yet, we can't ever forget what God is able to do with people and with families. God is a God of broken things. He takes broken things and he makes them whole. And he does it because of his love and his care, and because in his word and through his spokesman, he has laid down for us a way that we can be what he would have us to be. Now, we don't sin because we are human. Some people think, they make that excuse, they say, well, you know, I'm only human. That's not the reason we sin. Jesus was human. He didn't sin. The reason we sin is because we make poor choices. We have the freedom to choose whether we're going to do what God said or not. Cain and Abel had a choice. Cain could decide what to do. When they offered sacrifices to God, it was their choice to offer either offer them in the way that God they would be acceptable to God or not. Cain had a choice whether to kill his brother or not. We all have choices, but we don't always make good choices. And some choices have longer lasting effects than other choices that we have a tendency to make. We are in a war. We mentioned that on Sunday. And our families, if you haven't figured it out by now, are in mortal danger. We are bombarded on every hand. There are families that you know and that I know that are fragmented. There are power struggles that are going on in families all across the country and, surprisingly, among the Lord's people. They will not stand up and be what God wanted them to be. And a lot of the blame, just like we talked about last night in the very beginning when God came to Adam, a lot of the blame has got to fall with men and with husbands because they are the head and they're the ones that are to be taking the lead. Women long for men who will be spiritual leaders in their homes. They want that to happen. But there are a lot of men who refuse to do that. Instead, they are leaving that to their wives. And the women struggle over that. And the children see it, and they struggle. On the other hand, there are wives and families that are manipulating their husbands and dominating their children and refuse to submit themselves to the spiritual authority of the Lord. And it's wreaking havoc in families all across the country. There are families in which children are scarred by the rejections of parents who are so caught up in their own careers and their own things that they want to do that they don't have time for their children. And their children aren't getting what God would have them to have. There are parents in families who are experimenting with every kind of evil and sin during the week. And then they come together on the weekend and they sing Amazing Grace. And they probably are the greatest hypocrites of all. That's what state that our families are in this country. And sadly, it's that way among a lot of people of God. There's a war going on for the control of our souls and ultimately for the control of our families. And our families are in mortal danger. If our families fall, other things begin to fall. Our families are under fire. You know, and one writer, I think it was Abraham Lincoln, said years ago, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The problem is that the people that are rocking the cradle are not always the mother and the father of that child or of their children. They're putting it in the hands of other people. And we are failing as families and as husbands and wives because we have followed every plan about families except for God's plan. And we have listened to every voice about family other than God's voice. And we have read every book that is on the market about family except God's book. You ever talk to people that are constantly picking up books at the bookstore about how to rear their children and have never gone back and looked at the book of Proverbs and see what Proverbs says about rearing children? They don't like what the writer said. And we don't even realize that they're doing that. They're being exposed to things that we could never imagine when we were growing up that we'd ever be exposed to. Television is doing exactly the same thing. They're just holding on, just barely. A family is where a person ought to be able to be protected, not abused. Where God comes first. Where children learn to worship. And where children learn to obey and serve. And where children learn to pray. We learn from it's a place where we ought to be learning from our parents what is right and what is wrong. And what is good in the sight of God. And what is evil in His sight. Do we do that with our families? Do we teach them what sin is? Do we call sin, sin? We knew some people in Houston that when their children were growing up, they never used the phrase, at least to my knowledge, they never said to the children, do what I say. They used the word obey. They said, obey what I say. Obey what your mother says. That really plants the seed for obedience with God because they get used to the concept of obedience with the word obedience. Well, we need to be teaching our children about what is right and what is wrong and using biblical terms to describe it, like sin. It's not just bad judgment. It's not just a mistake. It's sin. And we need to call sin, sin, and our children need to know what sin is and how God feels about sin. A family is where you go when you're hungry or when you're sick. I can remember, and maybe some of you have the same recollection, that when you first went away to college and the very first time you were able to come home, that you wanted the things to be there that made it a home. You know, whether it was a favorite dinner, a favorite pie, just sleep in your own bed,
And he says this in general to it's pointing out what they have not done. And he says this in verse 26. He says, her priests have done violence to my law, and they have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. And I have I am profaned among them. And then in verse one mistake. If you miss it. We know that our enemy's goal is trying to attack us and beat us down and to control us. The question is, are we going to rise to the challenge? Paul says that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? Can you do that? The question is, will you do it? Are you waiting for somebody else to do it? You know, we've seen a lot of wonderful things take place over the last several years. Last 20 or 30 or 40 years. We've also seen a lot of things that have changed everything in our society. It is fragmented families. And a lot of times we're afraid to stand up for what's right. We really are. Oftentimes we're afraid to tell our children no, aren't we? For fear of what they might think about us. Because we're trying to decide whether I'm going to be a parent or whether I'm going to be a friend. And it affects. The Lord has asked us to be parents. He's told us to be mothers and fathers to our children. If as a byproduct your child thinks that you're his best friend because you're being the parent, that's a blessing. I mean, that's a plus. But that's not the initial goal. The initial goal is to be the parent. And that's for a good reason. You know, it's kind of like when Jeroboam and Rehoboam divided, when the kingdom was divided, and they're trying to decide what to do, and you consult with people, instead of listening to those with wisdom, you listen to your peers, and then disaster comes. What are we doing with our families? As parents, are we strong enough to say no? Are we strong enough to say no, you're not old enough to have a cell phone? Are we strong enough to say you're not old enough to have a car of your own? We don't think it's wise, but mommy, daddy, you know, everybody's doing it. Everybody's got one. I feel left out. I know a family that what they did for their child and what he said. And if you have a question about something, go back to the Bible. Open the Bible and see. Joshua made the statement. He said, what are y'all going to do? Are you going to serve the gods beyond the river? Or are you going to serve Jehovah God? He says, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Now what about you? Are we going to serve the Lord? Let's sing number 480. Let's sing. We are bound for Canaan land, tending by the way. You shall lead us on the road. Choose your king today. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. When the dark Red Sea of doubt billowed in the way, then He parted every wave. He will today dare to stand like Joshua, dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Just before a Jordan rolls, just across the way, we can safely trust the Lord. He shall lead today. Dare to
stand like Joshua, dare to save a word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord.
Have you made that decision for your house? As the head of your house, men, have you decided? And when you make that decision, you don't look at your wife and say, honey, what do you think? You decide. And then you live it the way God would have you to live it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your children will see, and your children will be greatly blessed. And your wife will appreciate the leadership that you demonstrate in putting God first. That's what God's called upon us to do. To choose this day whom you will serve. Whether God, whether Jehovah God, or the gods of this world. Make no mistake about it. There are gods of this world that are vying for your heart and for your soul. We said last night, one of the things that God will not do is God is not going to come and take your heart. He wants you to give it. And He wants you to give it wholly. So that you can say, with my whole heart, I love you. With my whole heart, I worship you. With my whole heart, I serve you. That's what God wants. And He has demonstrated His love to us when we were weak, when we were enemies, when we were estranged from Him. He sent His Son to die for us. If that's not a demonstration of love and an indication that we can trust God, I don't know what is. What God has done is He's demonstrated to us and shown us in the only way that we would fully understand His love by sacrificing His only begotten Son for us. Everybody can see that that's a wonderful gift. Can you imagine how it must have felt? Not only from God's perspective, but how it must have felt from Abraham's perspective. When he took Isaac up to the mountain, and he was his only son, and he was getting ready to sacrifice him to the Lord. He was going to do it because God had asked him to do it. God stopped him. What great faith. What God is asking you to do is not sacrifice your children. The devil is asking you to sacrifice your children to the world. God is asking you to sacrifice yourself, to be a living sacrifice. Not a dead one, but a living sacrifice. He wants to be your king. He wants to be your Lord. And you can do that tonight. You can become a child of God. And say to Him, say, Lord, I am yours. Here am I. And what will happen is, when you're obedient to Jesus in baptism, your sins will be washed away. All the guilt that you're carrying with you will be removed. You'll be a child of God. And as a child of God, one of the great blessings is that we can go to God in prayer and call Him our Father. People in the world can't do that. He is our Father as His children. And that's a wonderful blessing and a wonderful thought to think about. That this great and mighty God loves us enough and cares for us enough to send His Son to die that we can be reconciled to Him. But you have to choose whether you're going to become a Christian or not. It's your choice. But keep in mind the consequences.